broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2024. This is Hour 2 of 2. Every Tuesday, we have our first hour. It's TV, baby. Simulcast with radio. Second hour is just radio. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We've got a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen. We, the people, have to use our greater numbers to deal with the culture problems, the culture war. We've got to stand with Christian values. We've got to stand for God, family, and country. And we need to use our greater numbers to protect ourselves from the U.S. Capitol Police and to protect ourselves from illegal immigration. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Carrie Lake's lawsuit got rejected. That's a sad tale to tell. I don't know why the courts will not deal with this election integrity issue. What are they afraid of? They never discussed the merits of the case. They just rejected out of hand. Rejected Carrie Lake's lawsuit. Will not make it to the Supreme Court. SCOTUS dismisses suit without comment. So we don't know why. They just won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Shame on the conservative justices. We need accountability. Save America for the U.S. Capitol Police. Please sign the petition now. That was last hour as we highlighted that Bill Barr suddenly reverses course. And it looks like major case could overturn January 6th charges, writes the Epoch Times. That's a huge story, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. Former Attorney General Bill Barr states that the real threat to America comes from the far left, not from Donald Trump, writes AmericanNewsNation.com. During a recent interview, former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr expressed his support for former President Donald Trump in the presidential race against Joe Biden. Barr says that the true danger for the nation is with the far left. Barr expressed his views during a Fox News interview with Neil Cavuto when questioned about his endorsement of the president while, being very concerned. He said this: at the end of the day, you have to remember that when I was serving in his administration, I was fine with his policies. His policies were good policies. My issue with him came with his behavior that concerned me after the fact. And I would submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that the reason Bill Barr thinks that, you know, Donald Trump's behavior is so bad is because even Bill Barr and others got lied to about what the Capitol Police were doing, about what happened on January the 6th, about how hostile the government was, about how the government launched all kinds of incendiary devices into the crowd. It was a very peaceful crowd until the government literally had provocateurs run it off the rails. And, you know, Bill Barr and others are starting to really find this out, right? Anyway, there you have it. So, you know, Barr had criticism of Donald, but now Barr's kind of realizing, hey, we've been sold a pack of goods, a big old bunch of lies on this thing. At the end of the day, you have to remember, says Bill, serving in his administration, I was fine with his policies. I think his policies were good policies, he continues. Then he says, my problems came with his behavior after the election. Anyway, he basically says, hey, he says, some right-wing dictator is not the threat to this country. That's not the issue. Anyway, I find that very, very telling as everybody starts to gain more truth, more reality on this thing. And just to show how derelict Donald Trump really is, I'm sorry, not Donald Trump, wow, Joe Biden really is. Joe Biden thinks that you have to choose between freedom and democracy. Now, sadly, I agree with him because democracy is a disaster for the country. We don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. If you don't believe me, what do you pledge allegiance to the flag to? A republic for which it stands, not a democracy, right? So we're a republic, and I specify even further, a constitutional republic. But Joe Biden thinks that we're a democracy. And then he says you have to choose between democracy and freedom. Well, I think he's right for once in his life, but unintentionally so. Here's the quick soundbite of Joe Biden.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes.
Say it again.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes.
Freedom over democracy, that's America? Well, I agree. That's why we're a constitutional republic, Joe. So for the first time, Joe inadvertently got something right. Everybody's mocking him on the internet. I don't know if it was a Freudian slip or what it was, but he told the truth. Democracy is disaster. We have to choose freedom over democracy. Say this again.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes.
Yes, I am. Freedom over democracy is America. He's right. I'm shocked. Right? I am shocked. But I have to give credit. Biden asks Americans to choose freedom over democracy. Right? There you have it. He meant to say freedom and democracy because he thinks democracy and freedom are the same thing. But play it again. Let's just see what exactly he said.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yes.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? He's right about this. Now, most people are all confused because they don't even understand it. But guess where I got this news soundbite from? Russia Today. Russia Today, I got that soundbite from. Even the Russians know the truth on freedom is at odds with democracy. And Joe Biden with his Freudian slip highlights that reality check as well. I find that very, very interesting indeed. I'm really disappointed in Joe Biden and what he's been doing. All right. We literally signed all kinds of legislation over the weekend into, I don't know what words you want to use, but into law. The FISA 702 sold us down the river. It's a disgrace. Both the House and the Senate approved the extension of the Warrantless Surveillance Act 702. They renewed it shortly after it expired, quickly sending 702 straight to Joe Biden to sign. What a disgrace. The House also voted resoundingly in favor of approving $95 billion in foreign aid for Israel, the Ukraine, and Taiwan. Mike Johnson, they say, put his job on the line to do this. He might lose his speaker position over this. Tucker Carlson highlights that congressmen are terrified that intelligence agencies will frame them and put kiddie porn on their computers if they stand against the FISA 702. He was speaking out on Joe Rogan's Experience podcast. The Biden administration simply ignored states' rights on all these issues, right? State rights, personal rights, nothing matters to these guys, it doesn't seem. I don't really know how to even respond to this. It's so egregious. But the House did this, the Senate did this, and now Joe Biden is doing this. Folks, we have got to use our greater numbers to stop them. Tucker Carlson literally saying, hey, they can't stand against FISA because they're all compromised. They're terrified that the Secret Service intelligence agencies will literally put kiddie porn on their computers, then blame them for the kiddie porn and get them in trouble. So they're paranoid. They got to go along with FISA 702. Well, that's a very serious allegation from Tucker Carlson. The question is it true? And I have my suspicions from Tucker's, you know, continuing research and stance on topics. He does his research well. It is probably true. I don't have the evidence to double down on it, but it is a fair question. Hey, are congressmen terrified that intelligence agencies will do harm to them if they don't go along with FISA 702, if they oppose it, and will they be relentlessly attacked? Is that what they're afraid of? Because if that's the case, we have got these agencies literally lawless, absolutely, completely lawless. And so in my opinion, I don't think we can let one of the biggest hosts in the nation make a claim like this and not let it, not have us dig into it, right? When Tucker Carlson says, congressmen are terrified that they'll be blackmailed, virtually speaking. Is that true by these intelligence agencies? If so, we have literally created, they're so far above the law, it's not even funny. Should that be allowed to stand, or are we, as the American people, going to use our greater numbers to say, hey, wait a minute, if Tucker makes a comment like that, I'm not saying we just double down and believe Tucker. I believe Tucker does great research, but I want the facts. And I want due process of law. But if Tucker's right, if congressmen and senators are afraid of these agencies doing them dirt or betraying them or blackmailing them or whatever else, we better get to the bottom of that. We really need to get to the bottom of that. If we don't, we have only ourselves to blame. The only way we'll get to the bottom of it is if enough of us as Americans demand it. Okay, that's the only way we get to the bottom of this. All right, our prayers are with truth and honesty and integrity and those who are standing for it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman, back in seconds with our guest on your radio.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Sepp, president of the National Taxpayers Union, with me, ladies and gentlemen. NTU is the voice of the American taxpayers, mobilizing elected officials and citizens on behalf of tax relief and reform. To learn more, NTU.org. That's the National Taxpayers Union. Pete, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Always great to be here.
All right. Now, this is a weird thing that I want to bring up, but I've got to. Biden, the House, and the Senate are all approving an extension of the warrantless 702. It's disaster. Conservatives tried to stop it. Mike Johnson literally undermined them behind the scenes and passed it. Many are now saying that it's not only passed, but being expanded. And then we find out the House just voted resoundingly to give $95 billion in foreign aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Well, Tucker Carlson came out and spoke about this boldly, and he says this. Tucker Carlson says congressmen are terrified that intelligence agencies will frame them with kiddie porn if they openly oppose the warrantless spying program 702. Now, I normally wouldn't drag you into this kind of discussion, except for when one of the biggest news reporters in the world makes a claim like that, I don't think we can ignore it, Pete Sepp.
Well, there's, of course, a way to test whether that claim is true or not and get it out into the public domain. That's the way you do it. It would be not a very difficult thing, for example, to have the House Committee on the Weaponization of Government investigate whether this claim is indeed true. It would not be very difficult to have the Inspector General of the Department of Homeland Security or one of the other defense-related agencies to follow up on it. Those things could be easily set into motion at the request of one member of Congress, a Rand Paul, for example, or a Thomas Massey in the House of Representatives. There's lots of ways to verify whether something like this is not only feasible, but also verifiable. What is verifiable is what you mentioned, Sam, that we're now $95 billion deeper in debt.
Well, $95 billion, but that doesn't count the interest that's already accruing, right?
That's right, because now it's costing more and more for the federal government to borrow money. This isn't just a matter of paying a higher interest rate on new debt. The federal government is constantly refinancing old debts, and many of the debts that it incurred when interest rates were near zero in the late 1990s, early 2000s, or were barely at 2-3% a few years ago. Many of those debts have to be refinanced, and we're finding out very suddenly that an interest rate of 6% or something like that to finance this new debt, when you're talking about trillions of dollars that keep churning through the Treasury's portfolio, that adds up very quickly. And we're looking at a situation now where we are spending more on debt service costs for what the federal government has borrowed than what we will spend on national defense. That ought
now,
to give
let me stop
people
you right
off.
There and say this, though. How long can that last, Pete? Do you guys have any projections on that? Because to me, it sounds like, you know what? I hate to be Chicken Little and act like the sky is falling, but it sounds to me like when we're $34 trillion in debt, and we literally just do $95 billion to send to foreign countries, which we don't have. And then we find out Joe Biden's literally, you know, doing these debt forgiveness for, you know, student loans to the tunes of billions and billions of dollars. And then this latest headline, in his, quote, Earth Day speech yesterday, Joe Biden announced $7 billion in solar power grants. $7 billion in solar power grants. And then you say they've got money to make sure that everybody has the internet. Billions and billions of dollars. And how long can this last, though? On one hand, I don't want to predict or preach doom and gloom or predict it or anything, but this can't just go on forever. Are we about over the cliff on this thing?
I think so. And we're getting external warnings outside of our own government, Sam. I am not a fan of the International Monetary Fund and the contributions we make to it to give various economic development loans to other countries. And the loans often turn out to be sunk into anti-capitalist ventures, things that actually hurt the United States. But the director of the IMF was recently giving a speech. This is just last week. And he was asked about the future fiscal trajectory of the United States, as well as the current one. And he said, there are major structural problems with what the United States is doing, and it's affecting economic growth around the rest of the world. The outlook is not good for all of our borrowing and fiscal stimulus measures that have been going on since the late 2000s all the way up to today. The IMF is now expressing less and less confidence in the United States' ability not only to manage its own debt, but also to foster economic growth around the world. That ought to be a real red flag for folks.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you have it. Pete Sepp, what do we do about this, though? I mean, I as an American just feel like, you know what? I hear all these different things from the CIA saying, hey, we're going to have a hit from foreign nations on the power grid, or we're going to have, you know, and I just kind of go, man, I don't know what's going to break, but something's about to happen. And I know that sounds crazy because it's like, what evidence do you have, Sam? I just have the evidence that everything is being brought to the brink. And even though most of it probably won't just, you know, go crazy, something's bound to happen. We're in election time. They say the stocks in October are a big concern. We're spending ourselves into oblivion. That can't last. Now we're saying that the CIA is openly saying, hey, there's going to be a massive attack to the power grid. Beware. How do you not go negative, and how do you be positive, and what can we do?
Yeah, it's very difficult, Sam, but being positive is not necessarily the same as being a Pollyanna. And we all know the story of Pollyanna, the person who, no matter what horrible calamity was confronting her, she would gloss it over. That's not what we can do. We have to face realities, but we can also say we can do something about it bit by bit. Here's the case in point. The $95.3 billion emergency aid package for Ukraine, for Israel, for Taiwan, there was a golden opportunity for the House of Representatives to say, you know what, we're going to allow votes on this aid, and we're going to allow people to debate the merits of each individual tranche of aid and figure out whether this is in the United States' best interest. But here's the baseline. We're going to allow amendments to be offered that will cut federal spending elsewhere so that there's no big deficit impact as a result of this bill. Those amendments were offered to the bills, and the House Rules Committee failed to approve them. There was one from Congressman John Brasheen, a Republican from Oklahoma, who says, okay, if we want this aid, let's claw back a lot of the COVID funds from the coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery fund. There's a lot of money left in that. They could have offset this new spending with reducing the amount of money in that fund. The amendment wasn't even allowed to the floor for a vote. That was an opportunity for Congress to say, we're setting priorities here. If you don't like us sending aid to Ukraine or Israel or whomever, that's a separate question, but we are not going to inflate the national debt of the United States any longer with decisions like these. They blew
it. Who do you think is responsible for this? Does Mike Johnson take the hit for this thing or what?
I have to say there's plenty of blame to go around because the House Rules Committee had a number of fiscal conservatives, three of them actually, who decided, well, we're just going to take our marbles and go home. We don't think there should be votes at all on this aid package. And they basically blocked a lot of amendments being offered that could have offset the federal spending contained in those packages. I disagree with that strategy because it allowed a bill, a package of bills, to come to the floor without any chance of minimizing the impact to taxpayers. That's just plain wrong.
So their claim is that we fought this thing all the way by, you know, jettisoning it. What they failed to do, though, was work through the process in meaningful ways that had results downstream. In other words, they just took themselves out of the game. It's like, I'm not even going to sit at the table. You guys are horrible. But they're walking away acting like they did the right thing. But what they really did was fail the American people. They have a duty to sit at the table and try to block and try to make the changes along the way that are necessary, right?
Well, right. And you can even say, for the most petty politic of reasons, you could say that, look, I want to allow votes on these amendments for cutting spending elsewhere to minimize the deficit impact because I want to embarrass fellow Republicans or Democrats into voting yes or no on this. I mean, even if you have a base political motive for doing it, it's still a good idea.
All right, we're going to have a break here in a second. When we get back from the break, though, Pete Sepp, I want to drill into, you know, what do we do about this, though? I mean, do I just sit back and just let my country get spent into oblivion, wait till we get, you know, lower credit ratings, wait till this and that, inflation taking its hold? Joe Biden kind of made you believe that inflation was going away. Now all the experts are saying, no, it's going to ratchet up. Now you literally have gas, a single gallon of gas in California costing more than minimum wage. The first time this has ever happened, gas over $7 a gallon. Let's talk about this because it really matters. They used to say it was the economy, stupid. Is it now or do we care? Pete Sepp in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Ryan Daniels. Prosecutors in New York have opened the Trump hush money trial, stating how they believe the former president is guilty of falsifying business records to allegedly cover up a scandal before the 2016 election that he won. During opening arguments Monday, prosecutors claimed Trump doctored business records to hide a hush money payment to porn star Stormy Daniels at the time. Trump's defense says there was no such scheme and that Daniels is only trying to capitalize on the allegations herself. Any potential ouster of Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House seems unlikely for the moment. He's the toast of many in Washington, particularly moderate politicians like Texas Republican Mike McCaul, after getting a multi-billion dollar bipartisan foreign aid spending bill passed for allies like Ukraine and Israel.
At the end of the day, a profile in courage is putting the nation above yourself.
McCaul on with Fox News Sunday. Hardline conservatives, though, not happy that aid for Ukraine was not tied to border policy changes. Some pro-Palestine Democrats also voted against the bill. The $95 billion measure is expected to gain passage in the U.S. Senate this week. One rabbi in Florida pressing home a message of resilience for Jewish Americans observing this Passover amidst turmoil.
Rather than allowing our enemies to define us as victims, these difficult times are awakening a renewed dedication to proud, unapologetic Jewish living.
He said security was being beefed up at synagogues across South Florida where he lives. This will be the first Passover since Israel's invasion of Gaza. It came in retaliation for an earlier brutal attack by Muslim Hamas members slaughtering hundreds of Jewish families October 7th of last year. Jews and Muslims in the Middle East have been at odds for decades. This is USA News.
Hey, here's a question. After you wear your clothes, you toss them in the washing machine, right? Nobody wants to wear dirty clothes. So how do we don't throw your shoes in the washing machine when they get dirty? I mean, come on. Your shoes are touching the filthy ground all day long. Gross. But with Skechers, you can. Because most Skechers are machine washable. That's right. Skechers are specially made so you can toss them right in the washing machine and keep them clean and looking new. And when they look new, you can confidently wear them longer. That's less shoes you're going to want to throw away, which means less waste. And it'll save you tons of dough. I love that. Plus, machine washable Skechers are for the whole family, men, women, and kids. So when your kids get their shoes dirty, oh, and we know they will, just wash them. Brilliant. And even our latest technology, new hands-free Skechers slip-ins are washable. You just step right in and go without bending down or even touching your shoes. So give your Skechers the same treatment you give your clothes. Just toss them in the washing machine and keep them looking brand spanking new. Find machine washable Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear happens to be sold.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
We'll be right back.
All right, back with you live. Pete Sepp, president of the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org, with me. You know, Menlo Park, California, there's a Chevron that lists gas at $7.29 a gallon. That's according to data from Gas Buddy. That's more than the minimum wage on the national level. And prices at gas stations statewide in California are at 5.43 per gallon on the average. That's way up from the national average of 3.68, according to AAA gas prices. One thing is how much debt the federal government can tolerate without having its ratings just dismantled and creating a crisis there. Another issue is this BRICS competing currency that's gaining ground. It's already half, or I guess a third of the economy, and half the countries are involved. It's huge. And then you combine that with the inflation that we, the people, are experiencing at the gas pump and everything else. And, you know, Joe could tell you that Bidenomics is working, but we, the people, are feeling differently in mass numbers because we just simply don't have the money to stay afloat. Are all things going to come to a head before the election, do you think, Pete?
I think that there will be parts of the country where this will come to a head. I mean, Californians are used to paying a lot for gasoline, but this has gone just way, way out of the affordability range for most people. And so much of it is directly related to government policy. Those who in your listening audience don't live in California may not realize that in addition to your traditional federal and state excise taxes on a gallon of gasoline, California, on top of that, levies sales tax on the price of gasoline, and there are also local fees and taxes, mainly based on what they perceive to be environmental cleanup costs, and they levy that on a gallon of gasoline. It's no wonder that we're looking at $7 and above in California now with policies like that. Add to it the fact that the Biden administration has not been friendly to the development of traditional energy sources. It's also restricted the construction and operation of oil refineries. I mean, that's the other part of this equation. You don't just dig gasoline out of the ground. You have to extract it as oil, and then you have to distill it into gasoline. Well, what good is the oil if the federal government won't give out permits for the construction of new refineries? The cost goes up. And all of these things are conspiring to make things unaffordable that everyday Americans depend on, even after we were told, no worries, the American Rescue Plan Act and all of the parts of the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, where we're spending more and more money out of an empty pocket, that won't affect the inflation rate. It'll only be transitory. Turns out it wasn't. And we have a major problem on our hands trying to get inflation back under control, which was contributing to the national debt. And the problem is our response to inflation, higher interest rates, also makes costs worse for the federal government in terms of higher debt service. Taxpayers are on the losing end of this policy, whichever end you choose.
Now, I don't know how to ask this because I don't like to get into the politics, especially with the NTU, because NTU isn't partisan, okay? It's a nonpartisan group that just wants to simply have tax accountability, tax reform, tax transparency. Okay, we know that taxes are necessary, but they need to be held within appropriate bounds. That's what NTU is so known for. They partner with anybody all the way worldwide, all the way to the local level in your county, in your city, in your jurisdiction. They do a wonderful job, NTU.org. But here's the question. You've been there for a long time at the National Taxpayers Union, and you've seen Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, I think George Bush, Donald Trump. You know, you've seen presidents. Do we expect a change after this election if Donald Trump gets elected or something? Is it going to be different, or is it just going to be more of the same no matter which president we get?
A Trump presidency would definitely follow certain different policies from a Biden presidency, but there are certain factors they have in common. Donald Trump, for example, has for quite a while ruled out doing anything about the crisis facing Social Security and Medicare. He says he's not going to touch those programs. Well, the problem is those programs, being so-called mandatory programs, are already on autopilot. And when the so-called trust fund, which is another show we could do, of Social Security finally goes broke in about 8 years, there will be an automatic reduction in across the board in Social Security benefits of more than 20%. And so when people talk about touching these programs or leaving them alone, it's not as if they'll just keep going along as they have. They will adjust themselves, and taxpayers will be worse off for it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Rush rock and roll song where they say, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And obviously, we would find that policies for tax relief across the board would probably be more prevalent and more targeted toward the needs of taxpayers under a Trump administration than another Biden administration. On trade policy, they both have a very similar approach, Trump and Biden. So it would be a mixed bag. And that's why organizations like mine are around. We know that no matter who is elected to power, there will always be both opportunities and challenges for taxpayers.
Do you think we'll get a handle on this? In other words, the discussion that you and I have all the time is, hey, we've got a little bit of time. We can turn this around. We don't believe it's the fat lady's song. We don't want to stick a fork in it. We want to be positive and hopeful and full of faith, and we want to believe in the American people, and we want to, okay. But at the end of the day, do you think that we're going to be able to get people to wake up and smell the coffee or whatever term you want to use to deal with this? Or are we just going to run headlong into the disaster and it's going to be forced upon us? And I don't know, when that happens, it may end up, you know, forcing some kind of a war scenario too. Usually to get out of the economic doldrums when there's no other answers, they go to war thinking that will solve things. That drains the coffers in a different way, but it has the temporary view of gaining ground. What do you say? Are we going to get a handle on this, do you think? Or do you think we're just going to ignore it and play games and then it's going to hand us what it does by consequence?
I'm still betting barely that we will get a handle on this. I have enough faith in all the citizen activists that we have at the local and state levels who are now turning their attention to the federal level. I have faith that there are still a number of external forces like the IMF, like the federal bond rating agencies, that will keep sending signals to the federal government that you can't go on like this. And frankly, with interest rates the way they are, it's a terrible burden on folks who want to borrow to buy a new home or expand their business. But it is having one effect, which is opening the eyes of the budget committees in Congress and others to the fact that, wow, the crisis is finally here. We've been warning about what higher interest rates could do on our borrowing, and now it's sitting right on top of our heads. And I think those kinds of things are all starting to come together and convince some Democrats and some Republicans that, look, some level of taxation is preferable to some level of borrowing. Otherwise, we should just borrow the entire federal budget every year. Since that's an absurd statement, we have to figure out what can our economy bear, and we've got to do it quickly.
I don't know how people can really influence this. I mean, it's appropriate to point out those who are literally willing to sit at the table and putting solutions together. I do believe there's a lot more solutions behind the scenes than we realize. The problem is right now, it seems like they get shut down by even our friends, don't they?
Yeah, unfortunately they do. And, you know, there are those who say we need to have something like an amendment to our Constitution, much in the way that the Swiss have. They have a law called the debt break, which does a very good job of controlling how much the federal government and even the cantons in Switzerland can borrow. Well, constitutional amendments are fraught with difficulty and controversy, But I think that there are other solutions. For example, we have Sheldon Whitehouse, a Democratic senator, and his colleagues from the Republican side on the Budget Committee who've proposed a series of statutory reforms to the federal budget that would produce budgets that are more transparent and timelier. They're not the perfect solution. They are nowhere close to everything we need to do, but there's another sign of progress.
Go ahead and skip the break. We're with Pete Sepp, ladies and gentlemen, National Taxpayers Union, and we're talking about solutions and what we can do. And somehow, even our friends shut us down. And I don't know if they're afraid because of being blackmailed or what. If Tucker's right on that, I don't know if they just don't understand or if they just feel like, hey, let somebody else deal with it, or we can deal with this later or after the election, and they fool themselves into continuing on and on and on. But I'm afraid that as things get more tough for the American people, people are going to start to push back. And I hope they do it in peaceful, productive ways as opposed to some of the ways I've seen pushback happening in the country. I want peace and I want stability and I want safety for me and my children and grandchildren. And so I really want to implore everyone to say, look, we've got to work on this, but it's not time to panic, and it's time to look in the right places for solutions. We don't want to keep looking for love in all the wrong places. Pete?
Yeah, that's right. And I think transparency is the real key here. You know, people get upset and frustrated and don't know what to do when they don't believe they have the full truth at hand about the actual fiscal picture. And one way, and here I'm going to do something rare and tout the work of another organization that recently came out. It's a group called Open the Books, and they have invented an AI chatbot called Benjamin that allows citizens to search over 17,000 government jurisdictions for information on contracts, on budgets, on the pay and pensions of federal, state, and local officials. It's a great place to start if you have the question, for example, on your mind, how much does my town spend on garbage collection? It's certainly not great service, and I'm wondering if we're getting value for our money. You can go online and use this chatbot, Benjamin, at openthebooks.com and find out what your town is spending on this kind of thing. That's the beginning of your journey as a taxpayer activist. I mean, that sounds like a big, scary term. Well, I don't think I'm an activist, many people would say. I guess I'm a taxpayer, but I don't think I have any rights. You sure do. The first right is the right to how much you're paying for your government. Once you know that, you can start asking intelligent questions instead of just being frustrated. Once those questions start getting asked, public officials can respond and either say, well, good point, let's sit down and work on a better way to deliver our garbage at the city level, or they might say, go away, you bother us. Well, then you use tools like the recall mechanism for your public officials, or if you're allowed to put measures on the local ballot that would limit expenditures. Many citizens have done that in not only red states, but blue states. Those tools are available to you. And once you start getting comfortable with using those tools at the state and local levels, you realize you can also influence how federal policy goes too. It's a gradual process, and again, I know we don't have a lot of time as a nation to regain our muscle memory, so to speak, as taxpayer activists, but we can do it. We can do those things that Howard Jarvis and others did in California in the late 1970s and put Ronald Reagan into office, who, for a time at least, actually cut back on both taxes and spending, before even he too got overwhelmed. Those are lessons we can learn from and put into practice again.
Well, and where I'd recommend people start, you know, I've always talked about Ron Paul's penny plan and cutting a little bit at a time and all that. But, you know, there's people who do reports on waste in government. And in my opinion, yeah, all you'd have to do is take one of those reports with the waste in government, figure out which ones are going to affect the American people the least, and start there. Couldn't everybody agree to start there? It's not going to hurt the American people. It's going to be a win for everyone. We're going to get rid of government waste. The reports are already there. All we have to do is put that report into a priority list and start taking action. And we could do it single bills at a time. I mean, you could literally pass 5, 10, 15, 20 bills a day for the next, 180 days or, 6 months, whatever you want to say. And just think what progress we could make. And I don't think it would hurt really any of us very much at all.
That's right. And you're correct, too, in the other sense that what the world, the IMF that we were discussing recently, other investors, taxpayers, we're not looking for the immediate fix of everything overnight. All you have to do is start walking in the right direction with policy and go with the penny plan, for example. Cut 1 cent from every dollar the federal government spends. You might learn, as many policymakers at the state level do, that once you take that step, the following steps become a lot easier to take. You realize it's just breaking through that barrier of no, that all the special interests say. You can't even cut a penny from the federal budget or the state budget. And then you do it, and the sky doesn't fall, and suddenly people realize, wow, we can live with less. How about 2 cents less? How about a nickel less? How about a dime on the dollar? And then suddenly you're making progress toward deficit reduction that is showing the whole world you're serious about getting your finances in order.
That's where we start, ladies and gentlemen, and then you can back into the more complicated discussions after we start getting successes under our belts. That would be kind of the way that I would go about it. I'd get some of these organizations that, document government waste, and I just simply prioritize them. How can we get rid of the most amount of dollars that are wrongfully spent with the least amount of impact on the American people? And how do we get gain after gain after gain under our belt to where we say, listen, you know what, we're really making progress here. Look what we've accomplished. Look what we've done. And I think there's ways to do that. And I think once people start getting successes and we spread the word about those successes, I think we can create a snowball of rolling. And believe it or not, we look at people around the world when it comes to happiness, and they don't need a ton of money to be happy. Most of the people that are the happiest in the world, virtually from an economic point of view, don't have very much, Pete. But they're happy and they're free because they're not in debt to their eyeballs. And, happiness, I agree, you have to have the fundamentals. You got to have food and fuel and clothing and shelter. You got to have the basics. But above that, more money doesn't necessarily equate to happiness. In fact, experts show worldwide the opposite. And so I think if we spend less, it'll increase not only the stability of our nation, but the happiness of our people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's something psychologically very difficult to process, knowing that you have such a large number hanging over your head of overspending, of accumulated deficits year after year, and just the cost of making sure you keep paying your creditors interest. That takes a psychological toll, whether it occurs at the household level or even the government level. And both benefit from not only trimming back your spending, but trimming back your borrowing and realizing that you can pay your own way through life most times. And on the times you can't, you are very careful about how much you borrow and make sure that you keep paying it down. That's something the federal government hasn't done literally for a couple of centuries now.
All right. I know the average American feels like there's not a lot that they can do, but one of the blessings of the National Taxpayers Union is you guys have programs all up and down the line at whatever level of government people want to work on, where you can help them understand what's worked in other places, what they can do in their locale. And if people get a hold of NTU.org, that's the start of really being able to make a difference and having somebody who's got the experience. You know, what works, what doesn't, what should we focus on and why, and how do we get a handle on this, and how do we back into this? And so yeah. I recommend people create local organizations and partner with you guys, Pete.
Yeah, well, thank you. And yes, that's the key to success. So many of the best taxpayer activists I've known after 36 years of working at this organization are those who start out small. They wake up one day And they're the ones, to complete the analogy I mentioned earlier, they're the ones who see their trash trucks coming later and later and more infrequently every day and say, I wonder how much we're paying for this. And they find out and they realize, wow, this has to change. They change it. And then others say, you know what? Maybe we can do the same with our water and sewer system, or maybe our property tax assessment and evaluation method needs to be overhauled. That's unfair too. And they start showing up to meetings and getting measures on the ballot. And suddenly you have a movement without even realizing what you've started.
All right, so people get a hold of you, they can learn, they can partner, they can, you know, I remember in the early days when I got started with you guys 25 plus years ago, you guys used to have these tax summits and stuff like that where we could all kind of meet and greet. And believe it or not, I met Patrick Byrne at one of your events, and I've been friends with him. I just saw him at an event we had on Wednesday just the other day, and I've been friends with him for literally 20 plus years because I met him at your organization. Isn't that incredible, the friends you meet?
Wow.
and the difference that you can make together? That's one of the great keys to what you do, Pete.
Well, I appreciate that mention, Sam. And again, it doesn't take necessarily huge numbers of people. It doesn't take absolute knowledge and intelligence in the field of accounting or something to make a difference, first at the local level and then at successively larger levels of government. It mainly takes persistence. I mean, when you think about it, bureaucracies are hoping to outlast all of us. They think, well, this crackpot who's upset about the trash collection budget will go away eventually, and we can just go on doing things the way we always have. It's the guy or gal who says, no, I'm not going away. I don't have the knowledge of every single government service and how much money is spent on every single one of them, but you're not getting rid of me. I'm going to show up at every meeting. I'm going to ask the questions at every opportunity, and I'm going to keep doing it because the bureaucracy is not going to outlast me. I'm the one paying for it all, so I'm going to change it.
The few, ladies and gentlemen, providing tremendous leadership is the key. NTU is there to partner and help you make that happen at any level that you see fit. Most people are working on the local level, and that's really my recommendation, because I believe if we can fix affairs locally, then it can roll downhill to the general level. The government furthest from the people is the least important in my view, but we can start locally and prove that it works. We can deal with people that we know and people that, you know, have a lot of our same interests at heart. And, you know, you really realize that this is a community by community discussion, and all communities aren't the same. So the battles are different, and the people are different, and the expectations are different. And managing all that on a local level, I believe, is one of the keys to the starting point to really making effective change incrementally. Move the chains a little bit at a time, Pete.
Yes, absolutely. And they're all over the country. And again, each community may have different situations. They also do have things in common and tools in common. And that's why we're around at National Taxpayers Union to say, as you pointed out, these work, these don't. Start here, finish there. We don't know everything, but having been around for more than 55 years and myself coming up on 35 years, we've seen them come and go, and we're happy to impart whatever knowledge we possibly can to folks who out there who want help.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to get involved at your state and local level. Pete Sepp, thank you so much. We'll talk soon. I'm disappointed in the passage of these things, and I pray we can get a handle on things quickly, because if we don't, Mike Johnson's speakership might be over this.
Yeah, we've got to keep moving, and step by step, we're going to take it all back.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Pete Sepp, ladies and gentlemen, there he goes, president of the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. They're always doing a fine job. They've been our friends and partners for more than 25 years for real solutions. It's one thing to talk about the changes. It's another thing to dig in, get involved, and make that change happen. You partnering with NTU.org can get that done. God save the Republic of the United States of America.